And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, How Much Religion Does It Take to Get to Heaven? I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 8, at verse 34. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before Thee we come in this hour, beseeching Thy blessings upon this broadcast. May it bless every heart, those in the rest homes, in the hospitals, sick at home, or traveling across the Metroplex, or wherever this broadcast is received today. May it prove to be a real blessing to everyone who hears it, especially for those who are without Christ, that they might come to know Him. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou wouldst indeed send a revival to our nation. Our government needs to be revived. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our president. We pray for all of the governmental officials. And we pray that this revival might begin right here in the city of Fort Worth. Even today is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And now in the book of Acts, chapter 8, at verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. How much religion does it take to get to heaven? There are 11 major religions in the world today. All of these religions except Christianity are man-made religions. And the difference between Christianity and all other religions is Christ. And what a difference Christ makes. Let me tell you in this hour that Jesus Christ makes the difference between victory and defeat in your life. Jesus Christ makes the difference between eternal life and eternal death for you. Jesus Christ makes the difference between heaven and hell in your destiny. Every person listening to this broadcast, yea, every member of Adam's race will spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 13, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Jesus makes it clear that there are but two destinies. One is heaven and the other is hell. And I repeat, you today, listening to this broadcast, will spend eternity in one of these two places. Dr. Harry Rimmer was visiting in Egypt a number of years ago and talking with a state official there who was a Muslim. Dr. Rimmer began to talk about spiritual things. He said to the Muslim, God has revealed Himself to us in three ways. And the Muslim said, we believe God has revealed Himself in three ways. And Dr. Rimmer said, first, we believe that God has revealed Himself in the works of creation. The Muslim agreed that they too believed that God had revealed Himself in creation. Dr. Rimmer then said, we believe that God has revealed Himself in a book that we call the Bible. The Muslim said, we too believe that God has revealed Himself in a book that we call the Quran. Dr. Rimmer then said, we believe that God has revealed Himself in the person of a man, the man Christ Jesus. To which the Muslim replied, we too believe that God has revealed Himself to us in the person of a man, our prophet Mohammed. And then Dr. Rimmer went on to say, we believe that Jesus Christ gave His life for His followers, that they might be saved. The Muslim said, we believe that our prophet Mohammed gave Himself for His followers too. And then Dr. Rimmer put the capstone on it when he said, we believe that according to the Bible, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to support His claim of being the Savior of the world. To that, the Muslim dropped his head. Finally, in subdued tones, he said to Dr. Rimmer, "Sir, we do not have any account of our prophet after death." You see, what I'm saying now is this, that Jesus Christ makes the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. For Jesus Christ lived and died and lives again. Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." In my text is the story of the man who was very religious, but he was lost. And this is the story of so many people today. Religious but lost. I'm speaking to someone right now. You've learned the catechisms, but you're lost. You've memorized religious formulas, but you're lost. You've committed to memory verses of Scripture, but you're still lost. You've signed the pledge card. You've subscribed to the teachings of your church, but you're still lost. Perhaps you've been baptized and christened and sprinkled, or all three, but you're still lost. Why? Because you've never been born again. Because you've never passed from death unto life. Because you have never come into the right relationship with God, only through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. How much religion does it take to get to heaven? Get ready for a shock. It doesn't take any religion to get to heaven. In fact, you can subscribe to the teachings of all the religions and then die in your sin and go into eternity doomed and damned and lost forever in hell. The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." The Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read in Isaiah chapter 53 at verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," that is on Christ, "the iniquity of us all." But someone says, "It really doesn't matter what we believe as long as we are sincere." But my friend, there's not one line of Scripture to support such an idea, such a belief, or such a philosophy as this. The Bible does not say, "Believe anything you want to and you'll be saved." The Bible does not say, "Believe the rituals of your church and you'll be saved." The Bible does not say, "Believe in your pastor and you'll be saved." The Bible does not say, "Believe in the preacher and you'll be saved." The Bible does not say, "Believe in the priest and you'll be saved." The Bible does not say, "Believe in the Pope and you'll be saved." My friend, the Bible declares, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And note, the Bible doesn't say you may be saved, or you might be saved, or perhaps, or perchance you'll be saved. The Bible says, if you believe, you shall be saved. My friend, I've come to you today to tell you that you can be sincere and yet sincerely wrong. What then does it take to get to heaven? It takes a genuine dose of God's salvation. And if you ever drink of this fountain, you'll never thirst again. If you ever eat of this bread, you'll never be hungry. If the light of the glory of Christ, the salvation of God, ever dawns on your darkened soul, you'll never walk in darkness again. What is salvation? Salvation is an experience. Salvation is an experience in which a man who is a nobody is made by the grace of God a somebody and goes about telling everybody. Let me repeat. Salvation is an experience in which a man who is a nobody is made a somebody and goes about telling everybody. This is salvation by the grace of God. Salvation is an experience with a person, not with a denomination, not with a church, not with a formula, not with a creed. Salvation is an experience with a person. I read in Matthew 1:21, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I read in John 3:18, "He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John 3:36 it is written, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 5:24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I read finally in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, we are saved by a person, and only by a person, and only by one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. Not only so, but salvation is an experience that requires a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:5, "Ye must be born again." That is, you must have a spiritual birth. You must be born from above. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. God is not operating a fix-it shop to patch up old sinners. God is operating a regeneration factory to make new men. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus," Paul wrote, "he is a new creature." Salvation, then, is indeed an experience that requires a new birth, a birth from above by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is an experience that takes place in the heart. You know, so many people today say, "I believe," and they're only giving a mental assent to what God has said. But the Bible says it takes place in the heart. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 10. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." My friend, your experience must be in the heart. You must have a change of heart. Jesus Christ must come into your heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is furthermore an experience that is brought about by grace. There's not one thing you can do to save yourself. It is written in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is an experience that involves receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. In John 1:11 and 12 we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You must receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior if you're going to be saved. Salvation is an experience that takes place only once, but lasts forever. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Salvation is an experience that anyone can have. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter tells us that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the Revelation 22 we read, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. this experience is for you, regardless of your past, regardless of your creed, regardless of your color, regardless of your citizenship. This is your experience today by faith in the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross. I have a footnote and I shall be through. Salvation is an experience that can happen right now. Right by your radio this moment, you can open the door of your heart, pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this moment, God will save you. Longfellow could take a piece of paper, write a poem on it, and it would be worth $10,000, and they call that genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a worthless piece of paper and make it worth millions, and they call that capital. An artist can take a canvas and paint a picture and make $1 million off of it, and they call that art. But, beloved, I have one better than that. God can take a worthless, hell-bound sinner, wash him in the blood of Christ, and make him a child of heaven. And we call that salvation. And salvation is what it takes to get to heaven. As we close the broadcast, may I remind you once again of the free offer for the month of July. All who write in July will receive free and postage paid all four of the messages that are preached during the month of July on this broadcast. And as a bonus, we'll put in this one today. So write this week. Don't delay. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.